Sound of Hockey episode 273. We're calling this one the Colin Blackwell episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Colin Blackwell of your Chicago Blackhawks.
The Chicago Blackwells.
That's right. And former Seattle Kraken, mm-hmm. inaugural, has 273 career shots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good one.
You know, what's interesting is Wyatt Johnson. Mm-hmm. Do you know who that is?
Is he the
Dallas?
Isn't he the, yeah, Dallas, yeah, Dallas young
star.
Player.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the same number of shots.
Wow.
In pretty much
less
year and a
service
half.
Time.
Yeah, season and a half.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do when you're an offensive player playing in the top six.
That's
versus
right. And he's a highly touted
two-way yeah. player that's more of a depth role player like Colin Blackwell.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to Colin Blackwell last 2 weeks ago when the Blackhawks
we
were
We liked
here.
Colin Blackwell.
We were pro Colin Blackwell.
Yeah.
Clowin.
And he had a knack for like shorties, didn't he? Didn't he
well,
have two
he,
shorties?
He is a shorty.
Oh, that's true. That's
remember
true.
That one goal he scored where I think it hit him in the head and dropped in?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a beauty.
So
he didn't get to play very much in general. I think he had like an injury.
Well, he was hurt
I think he had
early
COVID.
Season.
I think he had everything happen
and
that
traded.
First year. And then he got traded. So
yeah.
His time in Seattle was short, but it was well liked. Hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL to Seattle on the X.
And also Curtis Isaacki. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the X.
And that was a little short. You doing okay?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
We're
checking
not
in. Just checking in on
pull
you.
Pull the microphone away from him again?
No. What do you mean? We've done that before?
Remember when he couldn't speak?
Oh, when he lost his voice.
Yeah, literally lost my voice mid-sentence.
Yeah.
No, my voice is fine.
Okay, yep. You're good. And make sure you follow us at @sound_hockey also. The Kraken are going to be ramping up again here in the next, in a few days. And at that point, you're not going to want to miss any news. So be sure to follow @sound_hockey. Also follow us on Instagram, on TikTok, and anywhere else. Facebook, but that's really NHL2 Seattle's
yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it. Go to soundofhockey.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/soundofhockey. Yeah.
How have you guys enjoyed the downtime?
The downtime has been mostly pretty nice, I think. I'm about ready to get back into it, I think. But they're also starting on the road, which is different for me. Like, it's a lot less running around because I don't go to the games,
you just
obviously.
Turn TV on.
Right, which is, you know, easier. And then I do some writing and some editing and some talking about the team.
Yeah, I liked it at first, and then I watched the Kansas City Mavericks over the weekend, so that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched some AHL. Watched some SHL as well. Watched a little HV71. So,
Oh, wow.
From Wolgart.
Yeah, you're a little desperate, huh?
Yeah.
And the bummer about that is there's no audio. There's no
commentators. Yes. Lord, you're watching Swedish hockey with no commentators.
Yeah, you hear the arena ambiance.
Yeah.
But there's no even Swedish commentators. There's
I would
nothing.
Like to hear the Swedish commentators.
I would too. I thought it'd be a great way to learn Swedish.
Ding-da-ding-da, Oscar Fisker Molgar, ding-da-do. That's like the Swedish chef from the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, I'm well aware, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Darren. Okay. His name's Darren Brown.
Yeah. Darren. That one might have gotten me in trouble with a few listeners. We'll see. Did I say it's Sound of Hockey? I think I did. I'm all flustered now.
Yeah.
You did. I do have a get off my lawn for you.
Interesting.
We haven't done a get off my lawn for a bit, but it's a very literal get off my lawn. Crows. I hate crows.
Ooh.
Is this a
you don't
new,
want to be on the wrong side of the crows.
Is this a new revelation for you?
They're tearing the crap out of my yard. Mm. Like, literally, get off my lawn. Because I guess we have, like, some grubs under the...
Mm.
And they did it to my neighbor's yard last year, and I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, look at that yard, right?
It's like
really
crap.
Torn apart. Now it's ours. It's just destroyed. It's really frustrating.
I'm a fan of the crows because I don't want to be on their bad side.
They are a menacing bird.
Right.
They really are.
Like,
and apparently,
I'm pro crows.
They're as smart as a human toddler. Did you know that? They're like really smart animals.
Of course they are.
Yeah. One time I was out, so I heard, there's a lot of layers to this story. I heard an ice cream truck and I decided that I wanted some ice cream. So, I think it's the first time I've walked to an ice cream truck since I was a child. And there was a baby crow lying injured in the street, like in the middle of the street. And I was on the sidewalk, nowhere near it. But there was a parent crow flying above it, protecting it. Right. And it thought that I was like getting too close and it kept like swooping down. It was terrifying. I thought this thing was going to, for lack of a better term, murder me, which is appropriate. Wow, we're talking about crows, right? Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't. I got away from the baby bird, got to the ice cream truck. I got an ice cream sandwich, and then I walked around the block coming back so I could avoid it. So, but anyway, crows, I hate them. Literally, get off my lawn. You suck, crows. You
If there are any crows listening, I like you guys. Yeah. Don't take it out on me. That's Darren.
I mean, I don't know, Darren. There are no hockey games to distract you from scarecrow building. Uh-huh. I mean, you could just be...
There you go.
Okay.
You know, coming up with a solution.
Also, we saw the black crows in concert, and we saw the counting crows in concert not that long ago.
And they stunk.
Counting crows stunk. They were... So, but I liked the black crows. They were pretty entertaining. That was like 2 years ago.
What about Crow the movie?
Crow, I don't think I've seen that either. One.
No.
The Iron Crow? Great. The yeah. Crow. From like 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
Mm. All right.
Okay. Anyway.
Report back.
Yep. Homework for next week.
All right. Here's what I'm reporting back. Crows suck.
Get off my lawn, crows.
Get off my lawn, crows, literally. The All-Star Game happened, and Ollivander Bjorkstrander had one goal, and he was one of the last picks in the draft. I didn't watch the game. I actually didn't really watch much of any of the All-Star weekend, except I tried to watch the draft, and...
Of all the things, you decide to watch the draft.
Well, I thought it might be fun, because I remember people getting amped up about the last time that they did it, when everybody was...
A little tuned up.
Tuned up. Nobody was tuned up, and they were in like full-on like hockey cliche mode, and they're
corporate
all they're doing
mode.
Is
corporate mode,
right? And they're basically interviewing players for like an hour, and it's just get pucks deep kind of conversations. Yeah. You know, like
sounds horrible.
Oof. Did you not watch that part?
I did not watch that.
It was rough. Apparently, Michael Bublé had an interesting night. It was what we gathered from listening to his press conference there. I saw some clips going around of that.
See, he was entertaining.
I don't know if he was, though.
I heard he was. No?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I'm bizarre. I've said it before, I'm a huge Will Arnett fan, and he was there as one of the celebrities, and even he couldn't, like, really make this thing funny. Like, it was just, it was just awkward. So, anyway, we won't have to deal with that next year. But did you guys watch the game, though? The actual game?
Gamesa?
Yeah, like, it was like a tournament, right?
Well, there's... three games.
Yeah.
Two
semifinals
games.
And a final, right?
I probably watched about 50% of it.
Mm-hmm. And Bjorkstrand's team lost in the first round.
And playing against McDavid, they actually pulled their goalie and scored two goals in the last minute or whatever.
Oh, okay.
No goalie, so.
So McDavid's team was down by two.
Yeah.
And they scored twice to tie it.
Yeah, with a goalie pulled. Yeah.
And then they won it in... Like an overtime?
They won it in shootout.
Shootout. So that kind of sucked because I was watching Bjorkstrand. I watched 100% of that game.
Okay.
I did the same thing, actually. I watched that game, and once they lost, I turned it off.
Yeah, I watched a little
disgusted.
The gold, or the final game. So
The gold medal game? Sorry.
Whatever. Yeah. Maybe that's foreshadowing.
Anyway, I'm guessing, I don't know. I hope Bjorkstrand had I hope he had a good time because he canceled that trip to San Diego and players look like
he'll be all right.
The other guys that didn't go to the All-Star game seem to be having a great time, so
they did.
Well, keep in mind San Diego is probably like tons of rain right
that's
now.
True, you really dodged a bullet there. Yeah. If you think about it,
might as well go to Toronto instead of
atmospheric river in San Diego. Okay, so other things that came out of this All-Star weekend, though, there was a big press conference with Gary Bettman et al. And Gary Bettman revealed some pretty big news about NHL players doing what, John?
Well, they're officially returning to the Olympics, and they've committed to 2026 and 2030.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great news. I love this news. I think it's great news. Are you thinking about if it's great news?
I would say I'm pretty excited about it. I probably don't over-index to the Olympics. I don't know.
I'm making a face at you.
I've always
Curtis?
Been a big Olympics guy. Love the Olympics.
And they're so not entertaining without NHL players.
Oh,
they're not watchable without.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's why it's so great. And I think I've probably told this story on the podcast before, but it's been a really long time, so I'll tell it again. But I think NHL Olympic hockey makes people who don't care about hockey get excited about hockey. because they have a team to root for. They are like, they recognize the importance of it because it's truly the best players representing their countries and playing really hard, as opposed to an all-star game, for example, where they certainly don't do that. It's just an incredible experience. And I remember I went back to Madison the year after I had graduated, and there were like 20 dudes that I was friends with, and they were all like, had a party to watch that USA Canada gold medal game in Vancouver, which obviously that, you know, came out the wrong way for the Americans, which we were all rooting for the Americans. But like, I remember them tying it late in that game and everyone jumping and hugging, and like, it was incredible. And you don't get that, right? Where like everyone's pulling in the same direction for a hockey game. So I'm pretty excited. That's how I would explain it, is I am pretty excited about it.
I am too. It's a long ways away, I guess, still.
Well, sure. I mean, it's two years.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Not that far.
Not that far. Time's a flat circle.
That's true.
As we've established many times.
Could take forever. Could be here tomorrow.
That's great point. You just don't know. You just don't know. It's going to feel like tomorrow. You know, we've been doing this podcast for 5.5 years, John. Does it feel like that?
That seems absolutely insane.
Well, we are at episode 273.
The math checks out.
And that's not including the 0.5 episodes that we've done and the bonus episodes and all that.
And the weeks we've taken off, too.
Which has been about 3 or 4.
That is incredible. And I've missed some.
Yeah.
But you've not missed any.
No, I haven't. I've recorded from many places. Italy.
Yeah, that's
New York, Minnesota, Dallas. A lot of places. Yeah.
You haven't done Asia yet.
Not yet.
The word yet.
Oh, actually, did I record from Qatar? Which is Asia. Qatar is in Asia.
I don't know.
I don't know that you did.
I don't know if you did.
I think I did.
I don't think you did.
I just seem to recall getting pictures. Like, jet skiing pictures.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I remember.
It was a work trip, you know. I had to get some stuff done. Yeah, over there, so.
All right. Anyway, Olympics.
Yeah, they're also going to do a best-on-best tournament, which is not part of the Olympics at all, but it's kind of going to be like the World Cup of Hockey. It's just going to be 4 teams, though. So they're calling this the Four Nations Face-Off next year. So this is next year in the gap, the gap year. USA, Canada, Sweden, and Finland. It's going to be, 7 games total, I guess. And they're going to do like a round robin, and then they'll have a medal round. So I'm also excited about this because this is kind of in, like, I think it's taking the place of the All-Star game next year.
Yep.
And I enjoy this kind of thing, period.
I worry that they're not going to go all out for it.
Hmm.
Like, they're going to treat it a little bit like an All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about that. Not because the Olympics will go crazy.
But haven't the players been asking for this?
Mm,
the quote unquote best on best?
I don't necessarily think so. They in context of the Olympics, yes.
They want the Olympics.
Yeah. But remember the tournament, the World Cup of Hockey tournament. That seemed pretty cool. And they were playing pretty hard, but not as hard as they would in the Olympics.
I think they played, wasn't like the Team North America against, was it Sweden? What was the game that was like really crazy?
Sweden.
Right?
It was Sweden, yeah.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know, it just did not have the same vibes as the Olympics.
It was also, they timed it weird because I think that was before this season.
Preseason, yeah.
This is in the middle of the season. They're going to shut down the NHL season for this. Yeah,
I think it's a fair question though, John. I mean, it's set up to be during, like, replacing the All-Star game in this time period. And it's all NHL players. This is an NHL, NHLPA event. So, you know, everyone's, you know, you're playing against these guys all the time. So I don't know. I'm curious to see whether it's an all-out type of thing or more like an exhibition, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I mean, it's different than the All-Star
game.
It's
good to switch it up at least.
I'm excited for it. And also at that press conference, the NHLPA director, Marty Walsh, blasted the Coyotes. What happened, Curtis?
Well, pretty much just came out and said, you know, that the Coyotes have missed several reporting deadlines on updating regarding their new arena site, and that that's pretty much no way to run a business. You know, they're in a college arena where they're the second tenant, and that's really no way to run a business. Then you had a lot of Arizona Coyotes fans kind of responding that they've made more money over the last year and a half than they have at any point in their time, because I guess being at Mullet Arena has been fairly profitable for them. Although that's maybe not making the point that the Coyotes fans think they're making with that.
Yeah.
But it's so the NHLPA is not happy with the Coyotes right now.
So an interesting note, also part of the Gary Bettman press conference, is that he kind of acknowledged that he's had interest not only from Utah, but Houston, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Omaha for expansion.
Uh-huh.
And some of that,
I've certainly been thinking Omaha needs an NHL franchise. That where
Jake Guentzel played?
UNO, he might have, yeah. Yes. But it's, have you ever been to Omaha?
No.
It's not a large city. I don't think they can support.
I don't an NHL think so franchise. Either. I'm just letting you know. I was like,
Kansas City probably could. They've been wanting one for a long time, and I think they have an NHL arena there. But at this point, I think that arena's been around a long time too, because they built that long ago for a franchise, and then a team never came.
Yeah, I remember. I do remember the potential owner of the Kansas City NHL team said they need more time to develop into a hockey town. I don't know what that really meant or what they were looking for, but I remember specifically reading an interview with him like 6 years ago as Seattle was going through this. But they have been on the radar for a while.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta, I think we talked about it, but Atlanta, maybe we didn't talk about it last week, is that they had a project approved for some public funding, about $400 million worth of public funding for an arena. And then not really plan to talk about it, but Frank Cervelli also kind of addressed that there's a potential announcement coming around the Coyotes in the next couple of weeks, and it could be as early as this weekend, with three scenarios that he spelled out, which are very clear, and we've talked about most of them on this podcast before, is the Coyotes move to Utah, or they force them to sell to another local owner in Arizona, and that local owner being the owner of the Phoenix Suns, because the Suns are kind of looking for a new arena. And the prior owner was not interested in renting to the Coyotes.
Yeah, he was very anti-hockey or something,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
The new guy could be interested, because then he could kind of put a package deal as far as like putting two teams in the same arena. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on. I think we're going to find something out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it feels like there's too much pressure being applied right now. And I know that the NHL certainly doesn't control the NHLPA director, right? But it feels like there's pressure coming from multiple angles right now. And I think even the NHL, just my take on it, like it just feels like they're even a little fed up with this.
Right?
Like they've done everything to try to keep, I mean, Gary Bettman clearly wants to keep this team in Arizona, but I think he's at the end of his leash here.
There is a scenario where they move.
That's not what you say. At the end of his rope.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
End of his leash.
End of his leash. Not sure that scenario. But there is
I'm imagining very strange leash.
There is a scenario where the Coyotes move to Utah, and then in the expansion, they expand to Atlanta and Phoenix with this potential new, the Suns owner also purchasing a team if he's that interested in it. So
interesting.
Because there's also been a lot of talk about, they could return to that market even if they leave, which is funny, but when you get a lot of people talking about it, that means it's circulating in the rumors. So,
you know what we didn't do at the beginning was explain what this episode was going to be like, which is different from most episodes of this podcast. So we want to do a mailbag tonight. We obviously do a lot of mailbags for our Patreon subscribers. We do those twice a month-ish, right? But we wanted to do one for all of our listeners because that's something that people enjoy, and they've always enjoyed hearing these. So we're going to get to that in a bit, but the way we're doing this is we're going through kind of our bigger news topics first, if that wasn't clear, and then we're going to do weekly one-timers, and then we're going to do mailbag, and that's going to be the rest of the show.
So and the mailbag's obviously going to be the bulk of the Kraken content. So. Yeah. Okay.
One thing we skipped over, by the way, that I'd want to spend maybe 30 seconds talking about is with the Olympics, who from the Kraken will make it to the Olympics?
Do you want to start firing them off? Are you
sure?
I think Tolvanen's probably a good opportunity for Finland.
What about Adam Larsson for Sweden?
Definitely, I think. And even Wennberg, I think, is because he was projected a couple years ago. I think he's got potential. I don't know if he's going to be on the Kraken in 2 years, but
where would Joey Decord play? Because doesn't he have triple nationality or triple citizenship? Because I think he's Swiss, Canadian, and American. So could he play for Switzerland?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Maybe I'll ask him when they get back.
Once upon a time, you would have maybe thought Andrei Burakovsky had a chance, but I think he's right now probably maybe off the bottom of the Swedish depth chart. But there's a chance if he starts playing well again.
Would Denmark be in the tournament?
Not necessarily.
Right. But if they are, Bjorkstrand.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. He might be like a one-man team.
Yeah. The first line.
Yep. Nikolai Ehlers.
Oh, good point. Yeah. And
Freddie Anderson.
About, I mean, Grubby could play for Germany still.
He could.
And what about Matty?
I don't think so.
In today's NHL, absolutely not, right? But like if they were picking the team today.
Right. If it's a couple of years from now, possible, maybe. But the U.S. is getting
stacked.
They pretty look deep. Dude, yeah. I saw a projected roster and I was like, this team is better than Canada. Although Canada has McDavid and McKinnon and Bedard, but like top to bottom, USA is really good. Canada doesn't have very good goaltending.
No goalie. Right.
The US has very good goaltending.
Yeah.
Hellebuck. I mean, it's
Demko, right? Did they name Demko's
in there? Yeah. So,
and that's the other thing that
has a good chance to win gold.
The other thing that makes the Olympics so fun. I mean, it's not a 7-game series. It's one game, once you're getting to those rounds.
Yeah.
And so you're hanging on everything. Every save is so huge.
Yeah.
So,
anybody else? Right.
Tomáš Tatar, maybe.
Yeah.
He's got a chance. Maybe even Schala if he, maybe.
Maybe.
We're just naming players at this point. So maybe Shane Wright arrives and just erupts. Like
Yanni Newman, maybe.
Yeah. That could be.
Kind of a dark horse, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still...
He's got to be in the NHL, I think, first before he gets picked to play for
Olympics
Finland.
Not necessarily.
Right? Yeah, you're right, but...
Because Finland probably doesn't have...
They have enough NHLers, though.
I bet half their team will be NHLers.
I bet it's
NHLers.
More than that. I bet it's at least three-quarters of their team is NHLers. I think if you're like from a Scandinavian country, if you're not on... Well, maybe I should specify, not like Norway or Denmark, but if you're from Sweden or Finland, if you aren't playing in the NHL to play in the Olympics, I think you have to be like far and away the best player in your league. And I think there's only a few guys that will
be the best.
Okay, you know what I mean. In that conversation of like the five or so best players.
Fair enough. It's an interesting question. We should go back to the previous Olympics since when there was NHLers and see how many Finnish NHLers. Anyway.
Okay, last bit of like bigger news before we... Oh, no, there's two more. And then we'll go on to the weekly one-timers, which are the less big news. Not yet. Not yet. But Sean Monahan got traded to the Winnipeg Jets from Montreal. Montreal received a first-round pick in 2024 and a third-round pick in 2027. The scuttlebutt that I saw was that the Jets were really hoping to land Elias Lindholm. That didn't happen. He went to the Vancouver Canucks last week, and then the Jets jumped on Sean Monahan instead as a backup. So
now, to be fair, I have not watched a lot of Canadians hockey lately.
No. Nope.
But in my humble opinion, Wenberg is better than Monahan.
Mm-hmm. So let's save that for the mailbag, because I know there's a question about that.
It's a tease. It's a teaser.
I think we will come back to that, but just for this purpose.
You're going
to
pin that?
Yeah.
Just for this purpose. Well, I agree with you. I think maybe the league might not agree with that.
Mm.
The league might be higher on Monahan, just size, physicality-wise. Anyway. Mm.
Okay, cool. And then Todd McClellan was fired. Man, enjoy your break. Here's your pink slip. You've been fired. But
your extended break.
Kings have been like really free-falling, which has been great for the Kraken, who are kind of treading water heading into the break, but the Kings were free-falling. They haven't gotten good goaltending lately. They're yelling at each other. They're saying mean things. So Drew Doughty was calling guys out in a press conference. So usually...
How did it work out for him?
I don't know.
They lost the next one.
Yeah, so, I think so too. But usually, the team starts to turn around after they make a coaching change. So we're going to just... hope that doesn't happen in this case.
Yeah, it didn't really happen with the Islanders. So,
what's happened since they hired Patrick?
I think
are they losing
1-2 or something like that?
Okay. Well, he said that thing about being an eagle.
That's right. That's right. Let's not forget the eagle comment.
Could have been an eagle or a duck, and he was an
He was an eagle.
Yeah. Who was that about?
Bo Horvat fighting somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
cool.
An eagle.
Neat.
Yeah.
I didn't think McClellan was a good coach with San Jose.
Okay.
Didn't do anything in Edmonton.
Right.
I mean, he had really good teams.
Yeah. He's often had very good teams, hasn't he?
So.
But why didn't you like him as a coach with San Jose?
I just think he squandered a lot of opportunities. And I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I probably know way more about hockey now.
Than Todd McClellan? Oh, no. Okay.
Than I did when I was watching. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. So. Anyway, I think he's been a little overrated. That's, I guess, my comment. Okay. I'm not saying he's not a coach.
And this isn't an original research or discovery of mine. I saw this making the rounds on social media, but Do you know who the longest tenured coach in the Pacific Division is?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to tell the listeners?
No. No. Oh, okay. Let them figure that out.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's Dave Haxtell. So the Kings brought in an interim coach. Was this guy with them before Jim Hiller? Was he with the Kings before? I don't know. But then they also, interestingly, hired DJ Smith, who got fired by the Senators. DJ Smith is the assistant to the new interim coach, Jim Hiller. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, now we move on to our weekly one-timers. Yeah, you were all set for that, weren't you? Evgeny Kuznetsov is going into the player assistance program. Anything we want to say? I'm afraid to say anything about this because...
Just the facts.
Dan. Yeah. The facts that we know are that Kuznetsov is going to the player assistance program.
We've just said it. The extent of our... Yeah.
Yep. That's the extent of our knowledge on this. Our next weekly one-timer.
Are we going to have to do that every time a player enters the player assistance program?
So, Carter Hart didn't actually go into the player assistance program.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I just feel, a little stunned.
I know, because I'm like, what if he did something really bad?
Right, because you're rooting for people, but I don't think it gets the
support he needs or whatever.
Right, but. I don't think they go into the player assistance program unless they need that kind of support versus those guys just took a leave of absence and nobody knew what was going on, although you could connect the dots, which we had started to do. Anyway, John, you just take this one. I don't know what this is about. And this is your territory.
This is my zone.
Yeah.
ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery are forming a joint venture to kind of create a streaming service for sports-related content.
Okay.
And what that means is you're kind of breaking away from cable and, people are cutting the cord, and this is one more opportunity where people that are only holding on for sports content will cut it again. There are some missing entities here, right? NBC and CBS being two of them. But if you're a fan of hockey, ESPN and Warner Brothers Discovery is the TNT and TBS properties. So that's theoretically you could get a streaming only service for hockey.
There you go.
Assuming eventually we get a local streaming option for the Kraken. Right. So
because you would imagine blackouts will still apply to this.
The broader point is this is like a little bit of a tipping point, right? Where it breaks away, and so maybe entities like Root or whatever comes after Root will follow suit and have a direct-to-consumer option, which we're seeing already.
And and there's also the RSNs, the Bally's thing that
going to Amazon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that confirmed?
That's
not confirmed.
I mean, it was just the initial.
We talked about.
Thought it was ish confirmed ish. Question
I mark? Mean, it's some there of the was initial are, reporting at yeah. the time of the investment. I don't think they've come out and said it's going up at this time. It's going to cost this much. I don't think we've got that level of confirmation. But my question about this new deal is whether ESPN Plus as it exists now, is that still going to exist, or are you going to have the option to, if you have ESPN Plus now, stay with that, or are you going to be funneled into this?
None of those details have been ironed out.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, it's a fair question, but.
We'll see.
Yeah. Because Hulu originally formed as a kind of similar fashion, right? Where it was like Disney, it might have been Warner Brothers as well, or Turner or something, with a bunch of different entities kind of forming one to consolidate all their stuff.
Right.
I think this is a good first step, but it's also now more fragmentation of everything, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm curious to see where it goes because, sports has just kept people tied to cable. And if there are just a one-stop type of solution for sports fans, you could see how that'd be appealing. That's what these guys are clearly banking on. So.
Well, except it's not one-stop, right?
Because
it doesn't have CBS or NBC or anything like that. So,
all right. Well, this is one of my 10 least favorite topics. So,
started tuning out.
Our next, I really have. Did you notice? I'm scrolling on my phone. Yeah. I'll just let them talk, whatever. I have nothing intelligent to add to this conversation.
Darren just goes to all the games.
The press bridge. It'll sort itself out, right? We can speculate all we want.
You don't have a lot of control over this situation.
Yeah. It'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
If I have a vote on it, I'll go vote. This is the way that I'm trying to live my life these days. If I can control it, great. I will control it. And if it's not something that I can control, I'll control what I can. And then I'll try not to let the rest of it affect
you. Remarkably good.
Yeah.
Point of view. Right. Wow.
Our next weekly one-timer, the CHL and the NCAA may be changing their eligibility rules. This is very interesting.
It is interesting because As it stands now, if a player plays in the CHL, they no longer have NCAA eligibility. So the CHL covers the major Canadian junior leagues that probably most listeners are familiar with, the OHL, WHL, QMJHL. There are junior leagues in Canada, like the BCHL, for example, where players retained their NCAA eligibility. So that was kind of a route for some players to go to play, play in a junior league and then still have their eligibility so they could go play college hockey. This could fundamentally change that. It could change how just the route that a number of players take to get to the NHL or the AHL. It could be that, you know, players are going from the CHL frequently to college if they're not signed or they're not ready for the AHL or NHL. So
I'm very curious about what kind of impact that has on those other leagues where you maintain your eligibility, the BCHLs, the USHL, right? USHL
is another big one. Yep.
That's the feeder route if you're not quite ready to make the jump straight from high school to college. Like in growing up in the Midwest, like I knew a lot of people that went from, you know, they played high school hockey, they still wanted to play college hockey, but they weren't getting interest. So they left high school either a year early or even at the end of their high school run, went and played a year or two in the USHL and then got an offer, right? So if the CHL is now an option, that would really change those leagues, I think.
Yeah, we were just talking a couple weeks ago on this podcast about how the BCHL was kind of positioning itself to compete with the USHL for this reason, for this group, for this pool of players, for like the best pre-college players. And now if the CHL is going to come into that mix, you know, do those junior leagues just become kind of like feeder programs to the CHL or to Division III colleges?
This is going to change things so dramatically.
Yeah, it's a big shift. Because
what I could see happening is the overagers in CHL, even if they're not NHL kind of caliber players, it'll take a lot of the 18 and 19 year old spots in the NCAA. And it's just going to have a very dramatic cascading effect. Think of also the U Sports in Canada, right, that have a bunch of these former CHL players that go there. If they can go to U.S. college, they're probably going to do that. Now, it's not funded, right, or not paid for by CHL, which is what the CHL model does, is it pays for Canadian college for every year that you play in the CHL. Anyway, it's so big. Yeah. It is so big.
It's going to have a cascading effect on where all sorts of players play. I mean, there might still be a home for all these players, but it might be 5-10 years from now, it might look very different.
But it is also like NCAA might be better for it, but it doesn't mean you get the prospects that you did before, you know, because those spots might be taken by 21-year-old CHL players that are really good, but not NCAA caliber.
And you don't have to commit to a well, we'd have to see what the specifics of the agreement ultimately ends up being. But right now, you have a player like Macklin Celebrini who has to decide really early before he even plays in the CHL that, no, I'm going to go the college route. He played for the Chicago Steel in the USHL for a year and then went to college. Under this new arrangement, it's possible, you know, pretty much all the best players decide, well, I'll just start in the CHL, and if I want to go to college, I'll do that later.
I don't know. I'm not optimistic this is going to be, I don't know. I'm really kind of torn on this. I'm not sure this is a good thing. Hmm. I mean, I want the players to do whatever's right for them. They should have the option, but I'm not sure. It's just that landscape's going to change dramatically. You know what, John? Let's go to the next one.
Well, that, but also control what you can control.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You seem stressed about it. So let's move on. Our next and final weekly one-timer. Jesse pulled you off your old team.
Never gets old, huh?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Jesse Puljujärvi is how you actually pronounce his name, I believe. He has signed with the Pittsburgh Penguins for 2 years. So he's been floating around. You know who else got signed that we didn't talk about? Zach Parise to the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. We didn't put that in the show, I don't think, last week, but that was fascinating. I actually thought he was still on the Islanders. he apparently wasn't playing this season, but
no,
they just
I think he was
him,
like so. Intentionally holding out too.
I think it was one of those things. Yeah, he just like kept training and
Forsberged it.
Yeah, but he is what 39 years old, I think. So yeah, good on him. Good on Jesse Puljujärvi as well. Happy to have those facial expressions back in the NHL. Let's move on to our mailbag. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from. We used to put that in as a sound effect, but figured why not do it live? I'm singing all these things live these days. So
love it.
All right, getting to our mailbag questions. Thank you so much, first of all, for all the great questions that came in. There's a few repetitive ones about like the trade deadline and stuff like that, so we may not read every single one. If we don't get to it, we still appreciate your submission. Submission, it doesn't mean that it's not a good question. It just means that we have some repetitive ones, and we got to keep this to a certain amount of time, too. So, cool. Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. First off, from CJ Mapes, which current Coachella defenseman, if any, do you project to be on the Kraken roster in 2025-26? Is it cheating to say Riker Evans because he's still technically on their roster as of the recording of this podcast?
Yes, it is cheating.
Okay. So which other defenseman not named Riker Evans?
I think
Evans?
The only one that was probably a candidate is Ottavainen, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nobody else.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I mean, yeah. I suppose it depends on what you're doing with Will Borgen. You know, kind of second or third pair right shot defenseman is where Ottavainen would potentially slot in.
So. Is Cale Fleury still under contract next year?
He is under contract next year.
Oh, yes. Is it for next season?
No,
or is it for next
20, season. 25-26, like you said.
Oh, yeah, he is saying 25-26. So, yeah, probably Ottavainen then. That would be my
I think that's the only pick. Really, yeah, mm-hmm. Final answer.
Okay, Nicole Cutmore says, how do we... I don't actually understand this.
Another Cutmore?
Well, it says, how do we defend the deep? And then it's got three crying emojis. Why would she be crying over that?
Because...
Like, are we not defending the deep well enough?
Historically, we haven't been great at home.
But isn't the home record a little...
Better this year.
Yeah, it's better this year. It's like kind of on par with their road record this year. Although last year, their road record was really good. And... Yeah. Their overall record isn't as good this year.
That's right.
But. So I have a thought in terms of controlling what we can control.
Okay. How can we defend the deep?
That doesn't sound like a lot.
We can decide either no things to shout during the national anthem,
which
I'm fine
with. I was going to say the anthem. We got to get on the same page about the anthem. I was going to say that same thing. All right.
I'm okay with yelling nothing during the anthem. Yeah. I want that to be clear. But if we're going to yell something, let's pick one.
Yeah. And I truly don't care what it is.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Somebody needs to champion what we do.
Well,
we can't
try.
Just say, hey, everybody,
we actually try
choose
to try.
One. And everybody does choose one. You're right.
Because remember,
you're
in the playoffs last year, we got
to be someone bigger than us. Maybe like a good friend of the pod.
Yeah. Well, we were literally asked to help spread the word that the players wanted the thing to be C. Everyone yells, oh, say, can you see? Right?
Yeah.
Well, the C part. But then they still like turn the lights red for red glare.
That's right. Red glare gets a much bigger pop.
I think
still.
Honestly, I think red glare
and fight
is the
gets in there.
Fight needs to go though.
Yeah, you're right.
That's got to go.
That's easy. That's cut.
It's not
right
really
away.
What like, the question was about at all.
Cut. I mean, ask it how we can defend the deep, right?
Yeah.
Other thing, we got to bring back my idea. I thought my idea of Seattle Kraken was a great idea. Unfortunately, it got
the team thought it was a great idea too, so they tried to commandeer
and that
idea.
Got too corporate,
yeah.
So maybe
that was inaugural season, right? They haven't tried that since.
Well, because once they tried to lead it, it was like, all right, this doesn't work. This is not.
Maybe we bring back the Seattle Kraken chant as defending the deep.
Okay. I'm willing to go along with that.
You know, we could try. Everyone wears costumes.
No, we're not going to try that.
Thinking along the lines of
there's no bad ideas, but that's a bad idea.
Remember the Winnipeg Jets used to do the whiteout? And I think the Coyotes still do it too if they ever make the playoffs, which that hasn't been for a while. But, like everyone wears a white shirt, you know, like everyone could wear the same color. We have a teal night or something.
Reverse retro jerseys.
It's not teal,
everyone
though.
Shows up.
It's a ice little bit blue, of a, excuse me,
yeah,
ice blue.
That's a little bit of a...
It's a big ask.
Mm. It is, because it's not like a common... They'd have to pass out shirts. With
that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I think the Jets kind of did that too. So,
yeah. Anyway, we'll keep workshopping it, I guess. I don't know. Those are just some suggestions, though, Nicole. I don't know. Seth Wagner says, should the NHL introduce a new rule that allows teams to pull a skater for an additional goaltender?
No, they shouldn't do that.
I actually don't know if it would help you all that much. You'd have to like totally redevelop the position because like goalies are, everything is based on your positioning in the net, right?
Yeah.
So like, and then you have to get down and block certain areas of the net. So like are the goalies, it would just be too hard, I think, to deter.
I wonder if that would even be an improvement.
I don't think it would.
Yeah.
That's my point. Unless you went the route of, you know how like indoor lacrosse goalies are gigantic?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you if you could make them that so that they're like, actually, here's an idea. What if you lay them down? Yep. Stack the pads
on top of each other.
Bed style.
Go Lincoln Logs.
Yep.
Second goalie. And then could you take another one, another player off and put a third goalie across the top? And now there's nothing to shoot at.
I wonder what the official rule is to prevent that to happen.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like a limit. There's only one player with
one player.
Too many goalies. Too many goalies on the ice. That could be a penalty.
Be fun.
Never seen that one. Don't see that every day.
You know what I love? One of my favorite moments is when goalies change back to get in. So like on a 6-on-4 or something,
mm-hmm.
where they've got a power play, but then the power play expires, but somehow they manage to switch back where they get the skater back on and the goalie goes back into the lineup or goes back into the pipes.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the reverse?
I don't know. Like it's the goalie comes off like every, the bench in like on the fly, you're saying?
Yeah, they on the fly back.
Okay. I mean, I did it once when I accidentally went to the bench thinking there was a penalty, but it was actually an offside call. And they're like, Darren, get back out there. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I made it back in time before they shot at me.
I love that.
Jimmy Kloppman says, who do you think is the right match for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Ryan Heinrichs follows that up and says, and will Cody finish the story?
God.
Does anyone...
I wish I had time.
All right. This is going to be a tough one here. We might be showing a gap in our knowledge on this one.
Yeah.
I was a wrestling guy at one time.
I was too. That's what I'm saying. I wish I had the time to kind of pay attention, but it's like, it's an all or in or nothing.
Yeah.
There does seem to be pretty solid overlap between the hockey and wrestling fandom.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think without a doubt, 100% yes, Cody will finish the story. As for the first question of who do you think is the right match for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, I assume we're all on the same page here. So I'm going to count to three and we're all going to say our answer. Ready? One, two, three.
Hulk
Bowie.
Hogan.
Oh, you said Hulk Hogan. I said Bowie.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything. So what's your answer?
That guy from Chicago. Who's the guy?
Colin Blackwell?
Val Venus.
He's a Blackhawks fan.
I don't know. Rikishi Fatu.
He might actually be in the AEW.
Triple H.
No.
I'm naming wrestlers from when I was in junior.
I know. I'm
aware. I recognize
aware.
All the people you're talking about.
Jericho. The Walls of Jericho.
No, he's definitely Jericho. AEW.
Oh, he's still wrestling?
I think he's part owner of the AEW or something.
Good question. Saturday soccer fan Booze says, who we trading? Question mark. All right, so let's lump together all the trade deadline questions here. There were more in-depth questions around. So like Trader Joe says, Surprisingly, is our best center this year. Do you deal him only if we fade for playoffs or because we surge towards playoffs or regardless, what reasonably could he get us? What pushes Eberle out at the end of season, if at all? Tenor or money or both? I bet he means tenure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of questions between those two, right? Let's talk first of like, are they trading? I think that is still to be decided at this point. I don't think they know yet. Is my take. I think these first couple weeks out of the break are going to determine that for them. I don't think they're going to be buyers, period, no matter what happens. I just don't think they're ready to like push chips in at this point. I think they'll maybe, if you consider being a buyer, another Tomas Tatar level deal where you're throwing out like a fifth rounder for somebody that you think can bring value. Because Tomas Tatar did move the needle.
He did.
Right? 100%.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I just don't see them like using up assets right now.
And you got to keep in mind, I mean, setting aside injuries, which have certainly been a theme of this season. I mean, and illness. But Kyler Yamamoto isn't in the lineup right now. So you got to be thinking, you got to get someone better than that. And the price on someone better than that is probably going to be something you don't want to pay. So I'm kind of with you, Darren. I don't think a big addition is coming. The options to me seem like more or less stand pat versus sell. And I think it's really, we're going to learn more over the next five games or so about which way that goes. I don't know that they will sell as much as some fans might like them to if the next five games go poorly.
Yeah. Well, especially because they're like still sort of in the conversation. So do you know, I think if they can make the playoffs, they want to do it. Right. But not if it means mortgaging the future. And so,
and they're not going to do that.
Right. But like, it's a little different than the inaugural season too, where they were so far out of it, where it was like, oh, we might as well just sell every expiring contract, you know, versus I wonder if they, you know, they're going to be listening no matter what. But I wonder if they're a little more willing to move the Alex Wenbergs, move the Jordan Eberles, move who else is expiring? Schultz, Justin Schultz is expiring. You know, anyone who's expiring. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I could see them if they go on a 4-game losing streak here out of the break or
everyone's available.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of
especially if the contract is expiring.
Yeah.
And then there's probably conversations to be had about other players as well.
Yeah. And I think I agree with all of that. I even mentioned in my Monday musings, it's you don't even take any calls unless it has a first round draft pick associated with Wenberg.
For Wenberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, especially now that Monahan's
right.
Set
because
that
I
market.
Think I feel like he's in that ballpark. Right. And as long as they're contenders, I think you got to keep what's best option for the team. Now, I think Shane is just about ready to come in. He's not going to play to the same caliber
right,
as Wenberg.
Does he replace Alex Wenberg? I'm not convinced he does.
No, but he's a center, right?
Yeah.
And then you need to fill in the spots that Wenberg plays, right?
Yeah.
Meaning PK, power play. And he's got a special skill in the power play, his puck handling, right? I don't know who takes that spot, who's for him. I mean, it's not easy to fill, but you got to do that by committee, but at least straight 5-on-5 play, I think Wright will fit in. He's not going to be as good as Wenberg out of the gate, but I think he's right there. So
yeah, there certainly could be, you could imagine a scenario where they're still in the mix and maybe someone like Justin Schultz or Alex Wenberg continue to be available if like just a big offer comes in. You know, because Ryker Evans and Shane Wright are there. I mean, you could imagine it.
I think Schultz could leave quicker than Wenberg.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
100%.
This is a fantastic question from JD Treat. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
How soon is too soon to customize a jersey for a prospect?
Okay. So the risk is the number, mm-hmm. right?
Good point.
Yeah. So
let's assume that's not
okay.
associated to the risk, right?
Okay. Okay.
Or should we pick a player to talk about? Like, I think it's safe at this point, my opinion. I think it's safe to get a Ryker Evans jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to get a Shane Wright jersey, in fact.
Okay.
I'll go out there and say
that. After that, it gets a little dicey.
It gets very dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason is because these guys have shown that they are absolutely like NHL ready. They're not ready to like dominate yet, but they might be in a few years. So you could get some real good play out of this. The other thing to keep in mind is that the jersey deal is switching over from Adidas to Fanatics. Which
we're all excited about.
Yeah, it's got some mixed reviews, I know.
Just control what you can control.
Control what you can control.
Thank you.
The only, like, here's the thing, okay? I got a, back in my Minnesota Wild days, I got a Jonas Brodin jersey when he was, I think, 21.
Oh, that's nice.
He's still on the team, right?
You got some pretty good.
And yeah. I got the Road Wild jersey, which had, like, they had just redesigned it.
Smart.
So the jersey is still totally
like
current.
Relatively current.
With the exception that it's a Reebok jersey.
Mm.
But other than that, he's still on the team. He hasn't changed numbers, and it's the exact same jersey that they still wear. So that was a fantastic jersey investment.
Well, when it comes to the Kraken, you know, maybe the ad patches might change, but I don't think they're going to redesign anytime soon.
I would agree with that.
I mean, the third jerseys will come and go.
Of course.
I think, but,
of course.
But so you're safe in that regard. But if the tenor of the question is, you know, if there's a second round pick or a third round pick in the draft that I like, should I get their jersey? I mean, go for it, but just know that there is, you know.
It's risky.
So here's, I mean, like if we look at the last year's draft class, Rakoff I'm excited about.
Mm.
So that's where, but I might consider it next fall.
Here's an idea for you. How about a Carson Rakoff Kitchener Rangers jersey?
Don't like that.
Official third team.
What about this? Yanni Newman's, what team does he play for right now in Finnish league? Ooh, a Niklas Kokko Pelicans jersey.
that's legit.
That would be.
I might consider that.
That I would consider.
Yeah.
Not a Kitchener Rangers.
Okay.
Because I think if you're wearing a Kitchener Rangers jersey at a Kraken game,
people
think you're from Kitchener.
Okay.
And you were a fan there.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think Rakoff next fall, we should put a large stake in this and come back in October because that's
right, and
probably.
I'm sure we'll remember that.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. maybe the listener will.
We really need to get like a pin board or a cork board or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That can be arranged.
Ginkgo Balboa says, why, this is a tough one. Why do the fans love Philip Grubauer so much? Aside from a great 2 months at the end of last season, he's been, this is Ginkgo Balboa saying this, he's been terrible.
I wouldn't really classify the fans loving him.
I think it's a mixed bag. I think there's some people that are huge defenders of Philip Grubauer. I've mostly defended him. I think there's been times where I've really wanted him to be a lot better. I think he's gotten a little bit of a raw deal. And I also, I personally empathize as a fellow goalie that, you know, there's a lot of games where he like doesn't face a shot for 15 minutes or whatever. And then the first one he faces is a 2-on-1. So it's just his style of play has not fit with the Kraken for whatever reason. He's been a great goalie throughout his career, and it has not gone as people expected since he got to Seattle. I think there's a level of just like when he got here, people were really excited about it. It was a big free agent signing. He was
Their biggest signing.
Yes. He was coming off of a Vezina, you know, like I think people are still hoping that he's going to be the goalie that they signed at some point. And again, control what you can control. He's under contract for a long time yet at a big dollar number. So
I think I know the answer though.
Okay, hit me.
It's because he's our goalie.
Yeah.
Right? He's on the team.
Mm-hmm.
People support the players.
That's true.
As a whole.
It's a very supportive fan base in general. And people seem to like, remember the inaugural year? There are some players that people were just loved. And you were like, huh.
I love some of the jerseys I still see. Right?
Dennis Cholaski.
I've seen him. Yeah. Right? Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
my Barry Boulay jersey got lost somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it still looking for it?
Man, no, would have been a tough one.
That would be
if
tough.
You had seen that they'd
invested,
grabbed him off waivers, and you're like, I'm getting this one, baby. And then he did the Abe Simpson walk into the Maison Derrière and walk right back out, you know, kind of. Bit there.
Yeah.
Daniel Allen says, after following hockey closely for 3 years, I finally figured out the trapezoid rule. I love that. For better understanding for new fans, I think it should only be referred to as the shoulder rule going forward, since that's the area of concern. Thoughts? What's the shoulder rule?
I think you can't play it in the shoulders of the rink, I guess.
I think they're referring to the trapezoid is where
outside
you can
the
play the puck, but it's the other parts that are the real issue, right?
Okay.
So I think that's maybe.
I mean, I like that. I would support that.
The shoulder rule? So changing it from the trapezoid rule to the shoulder rule.
Yeah.
And officially, it's the Martin Brodeur rule. Because he was too good. It's kind of like a Joey Decord rule.
No, that's precisely, it's been more and more in my mind recently, because Grubauer is very stay at home. You know, he's not really going to be playing in the corners much. But Joey would.
Oh, yeah.
He'd Joey's be out there every
leading
play.
The rush if he can.
Yeah.
Every game, he makes a pass where I'm like, wow, that looked risky, and he just drilled it. Like, there is one in their last game where, like, the obvious play for most goaltenders, because like his lane to the defenseman was totally cut off, would be to just rim it around the boards because you're like out of ideas. He hit a guy at the blue line, like weaved it or like threaded it between two onrushing forwards and hit a guy at the blue line. And I was like, how does he even have the vision? So anyway.
Speaking of which, I saw the PWHL 3-on-3 during the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the goalies gave the biggest pizza to like basically trying to get it to the blue line.
Yeah.
She was all alone and flubbed the pass and just served up the biggest pizza right to a forward crashing and they scored up a goal. I mean, it was the All-Star game or the kind of the exhibition, but it was very, very funny.
That
right?
is the worst feeling. Haven't done that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Daniel Allen also asked, and I thought this one was interesting, should we expect a fully healthy roster when things get back to normal after the All-Star break? And he follows it up with other than Belmar. I think even Belmar is going to be healthy.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he's about there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could activate him. They don't need to send anyone down.
Yeah. He's been practicing for a while and skating for a while. Like even when the team was on their last road trip, I know he was home skating.
It's crazy though. Like where do you put him, right?
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing. You think back to opening night and the question was, oh man, who are they going to pull out of the lineup here? Either Ty Cartier or Kyler Yamamoto effectively have to be the guys because we were kind of assuming that Belmar was in as like the penalty killer or whatever, right?
Yep.
Now they also have Tatar at the top of the lineup.
Right?
So now there's an added guy there. Do they have the room for him on the roster then?
They do.
Yeah. Yep, they do.
But
they don't
have
anyone
to scratch
else.
Cartier and Yamamoto. They don't have an extra defenseman right now. They could call up an extra defenseman, and then they'd be at 23.
But right.
Even with Belmar, they'd be at 22, I think.
Yeah, they have room.
Without the extra defenseman. But wouldn't they call an extra defenseman up?
They probably will, but then they'd be at 23.
They still have room.
They'll be at... Okay, so with Belmar, they scratched Yamamoto.
That's it.
And Evans.
Yeah.
Oh, just comparing to opening day?
No, he's asking...
They started opening day with 22.
He's asking roster
22
spots.
Players on opening day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My brain got put in a pretzel there. Anyway, good question. Back to CJ Mapes. Any truth to the rumor that the elusive and much maligned Sound of Hockey Twitter/X intern?
I don't like that. I don't like that part.
Much maligned.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a lot of heat for certain things.
Keep going.
You know, mistakes.
Yeah.
The much maligned Sound of Hockey Twitter/X intern might be leaving in order to go work with Allison L. and Piper Shaw at The Experience. Can any intern have an expectation of a decent work-life balance over there at Sound of Hockey? Okay, I'll tell you on that last part, absolutely not.
I'm still hung up on
much maligned. I mean, if Allison L. and Piper Shaw invite the intern to do something like that, to join some sort of,
roadshow or whatever.
Yeah, like
right?
That sounds...
I don't know anybody in the world that would turn that opportunity down.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, but yeah. I don't know if we don't know who the Twitter intern is, so it's tough.
It's a mystery.
Yeah. John Kinsella asked about the trade deadline. Let's assume roughly 55%. Will it be trade deadline win percentage will be the same as it has been? Eberle, Wenberg, Tolvi, Driedger. I don't understand. Oh, well, I guess it's just saying who do you trade? I don't think they trade Tolvanen. Eberle, I think, could go if they're fully out. Wenberg could go. Chris Driedger could go if there's a buyer, but I don't know if there's a buyer on him. Who on the Kraken is the most like this video? And it's a video of a guy saying that he's going to, it's a TikTok video saying he's going to save half of his sandwich for later. But then the parts of the sandwich are stacked up vertically. So like it's a piece of bread standing up on its end, and then a piece of lettuce, and then a piece of meat, and then another piece of bread. So which player is most like that?
So are you looking for somebody creative, funny?
Yeah, and kind of quirky.
And tactical.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Or and like, tactical.
Well, like, he's got the skills to kind of pull that off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I think the only person that jumps to mind to having the skills to pull that off would be Yanni.
Yeah.
But he's not that quirky.
Like, and he's not going to, that's not something he would like.
Yeah.
Do something online.
Yeah. It kind of seems like something Brandon Tanev would do for some reason, although I don't know.
See, I think Will Borgen, but
I thought that too.
Cooking skills are pretty poor.
Right.
There were vegetables in there, so I don't know.
That's a good point.
Does he not eat vegetables?
He doesn't. No broccoli specifically, I think, right? Is it all vegetables?
I thought it was all vegetables. Okay. If it's just broccoli, okay, that's fine.
No, it might be.
Okay. What about Burakovsky?
Mm-hmm. No.
Seems...
I don't see it.
What aspect?
He's got a sense of humor, but he's pretty straight laced to me. I don't think he's gonna. Adam Larson.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I think that's the answer.
A little bit of a dark horse, but I like it.
I mean, that's how his sense of humor is, though, right? Like, you don't really get it,
right?
But and you're like, well, everyone talks about how funny he is, and like every now and then you get a little something that's like, John Linscott, if you had to name a pet after one of the players on the Kraken. Past or present, what would you name them? First, last, or nicknames are all acceptable answers. John, what would you do if you had to name a pet?
If you had to.
Well, it's funny. When we were looking to add to the family with two dogs, before we even saw dogs, we were thinking about names around the Kraken. And so if you missed, I think we talked about them
attacking
2 weeks
me
ago.
When I tried to, they all escaped.
One is Benny,
yep.
Named after Maddie. And then the other is Gordo. And named after Tanev, right?
Named after Tanev.
Yeah. So,
but actually, Turbo could be a pretty good name for a dog.
We were thinking about Ellie as well, or Tolvi, or something like that. So.
Past or present, Geo could be pretty good.
I thought of Geo.
Yeah.
This one I read earlier, so I was thinking about this one. Geo,
Groovy
maybe Groovy.
Would be good.
Yep. I thought about
naming a dog Big Cat.
Big Cat. That's kind of funny. Well, it just says a pet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Big Cat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a dog Big Cat would be funny.
Yeah, that would be good. Joey.
Joey would.
It's kind of cute.
There's a lot of, it's pretty easy. Because you just do the old Borgie or...
Tuna.
Yeah, tuna.
I always thought, growing up, I always thought Miko would be a cute name for a dog when I was, you know, a Wild fan, Miko Koivu. Or Manny. Okay. I really liked Manny Fernandez, the goalie.
Right,
so Manny could be a good nickname, good name for a dog. Yeah, it's pretty, good question there. Yeah. Couple more trade deadline questions here. Skosar says, after Evans gets called up, parentheses, likely tomorrow, maybe. How often does he get in the lineup?
Kind of a hot, maybe not a hot take, but I am not totally confident he gets called up.
Yeah.
If he does get called up, I think he's got to play at least 50% of the games, and that's low.
Yeah.
So if he's not going to play 50% of the games, then I think they call somebody else up to be the seventh defenseman. So.
But it is, they are starting out of the break on an East Coast road trip, so it's most likely they will call somebody up. Would be my guess. I don't know that it's going to be Evans. I'm with you.
Saturday, Monday, Thursday. Is that right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Keegan Taggart says, so I've noticed this in live games. I'm extremely curious. There seems to be an extra patch over the players' right shoulder on their game jerseys. Do you happen to know what that is? Yes, that is their player tracking tags that they started using. You know what's interesting? This picture that they sent, it's a picture and it's like circled on the shoulder so we can see what they're referencing. The picture includes Ryan Donato, Morgan Geeky, Callie Yarncruck, and then Vince Dunn. So,
you know,
how about that?
I've like seen them in and like been able to touch it inside the jersey.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember the scenario where I had access to touch the actual game jerseys.
Okay.
Because they don't let those go out in the wild.
No.
Trying to think. You've seen them before. Well, you're in the locker room though.
Well, yeah, but I see them like throwing their jerseys onto a cart to go get laundered or packed up or whatever.
And
don't they
like take them out and then stick them in a
I think
a
they
pack
do.
Or like a kind of a not a cabinet, but like one of those like electronic cabinet things.
I'm not clear if that's if I think they wear like a heart monitor thing when they're practicing, which I think is a different thing.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that's what, to answer the question, that's what it is. Yeah. Circling Seattle Sports, this is our guy, Charles. He says, when will we get...
He refuses to say hi to me in public.
Really?
Yeah.
Rude.
Twice.
I bet that's not true. He's an incredibly nice
guy. Ask him.
Okay. When will we get a Darren karaoke special?
Do I have a vote in this?
It's on Patreon right now.
Maybe.
Man, that would be
that could
good
be video content.
Yeah.
Or just a special Patreon-only invite.
Yeah.
That'd be
pretty fun.
Yeah.
I've definitely spent a little time at home after a few college sodas. Like if my wife's ever out of town, sometimes what I'll do at like 1 a.m. is I'll just put YouTube karaoke on and just sing in my living room. Is that a weird thing to admit on the podcast? It's kind of a weird thing
who
to admit.
Like cannot sing a lick.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very weird.
It's a
but that's me.
Fun way to try out some new material.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always blown away at your material in general.
He's always on the clock.
He's always always grinding. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to that question about the work-life balance.
Oh, man.
All right. I think that's it in terms of questions from the X. John, I think you had a few from the
Discord
that you wanted us to
got some Discord
cover
questions.
Yeah. And again, there were a few more there that we didn't answer, but I think they were all about the trade deadline or something like that. So hopefully we answered your question. If not, we're sorry, but feel free to ask it again next time we do
this.
And
we also talked about it on soundofhockey.com and the most recent roundtable. So check that out.
That's true. Great point, Curtis. Yeah. You know what? I hope you're all checking out soundofhockey.com.
There's a lot of good stuff on
there. A
lot of
good
right
stuff.
Now.
Yeah.
Variety, too.
Yeah.
Zamboni Tony asks,
great name.
Where did all the boys go for the break? Did Hack go anywhere? What about Forslund, Piper, and Allison? Do they take vacations as well?
Hack went to Minnesota to watch his kid play. Piper, I don't know if we should share that. I do know where she went, but. I think it's okay.
I haven't seen her on Instagram or Twitter.
She hasn't put anything on social media, but she went somewhere. I know JT went to Disneyland, which looked like a lot of fun with his family. John, I don't know where he would have gone. As for the players,
Allison went to the Florida Keys.
That's right. Brandon Tanev was in Cabo. You know who else was in Cabo? Was Daniel Sprong. Daniel Sprong, former Seattle Kraken. And I was curious if they had met up because it looked like they might have been in the same place. But I saw Brandon Tanev on Instagram playing golf with no shirt on, which I thought was hilarious. So
and wasn't
tarps off.
The Gourds go back to Quebec.
Yep, I think they did.
It was all snowy. I'm like, oh, that looks exciting.
Joey DeCord was in, it looked like Miami. I know Jared McCann told us he was going to Costa Rica. Will Borgen and Maddie were together, which was adorable, in, it looked like Hawaii.
Oh, and Burakovsky got engaged.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Don't know yeah. where it was, but yeah. congratulations.
I think with that water. There was... also looked like Hawaii to yeah. me, but yeah. I don't know. These aren't questions that I usually ask, like, where are you going on vacation?
I mean, stalk their Instagram if you really right. dined it, because yeah. that's usually the only time they post anything is yeah. when they're during the bye week.
Yep. And it always looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I would like to be doing that instead yeah. of whatever it is that I'm doing here. That's for sure. What else you got, John?
Oh, yeah. If you were to add one piece, who do you think would be the best get for what we need for the playoff push? And on the flip side, who are we most likely to lose this year at the deadline? I think we've covered that second
definitely
part.
Covered the, yeah. yeah. Who would they add? Would we? Well, let's think about positional, right? Like, what position do they need?
Well, I don't think they necessarily need a position.
But
I think
they need upgrade certain positions.
They need scoring.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's, I don't care where you add it, you need a scorer. And that's a forward, not a defenseman, I don't think.
And then they cut ties with somebody at the bottom of the, or right, put them on waivers or
that's
whatever.
Part of the trade yeah. or who knows, right? Yeah. They need scoring.
Agreed.
They're just down scoring. That's what they need. So I don't know who's available.
For me,
McDavid, maybe. Like, that would be a good one.
Sure.
Good add.
I'd consider
Austin Matthews.
I don't know. Matthews.
Washed up.
Yeah. I don't know. He's all right.
He's overrated.
Yeah. Justin Bieber. He might be available.
He is available. Curtis.
I mean, no, I was going to give a serious answer, and I really can't follow that anymore. Okay. So.
All right, cool.
We'll move on.
F. Mammal. What does the market for center rentals look like now that we had those deals last week? I think we covered that. Does it recalibrate our thoughts? Yes. Should we even bother doing a first if that's available, the final start, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we covered that. He also adds, what is happening with Maddie this year? Have other teams figured him out, something else? What do we see his potential in a few years?
I think he's still got potential as an elite top six. I mean, he is a top six player, but like, I think he could be an elite two-way center. I think he's very slight in stature still. I think he's having a sophomore slump. I think last season things came almost easily to him, and then maybe he came in this year expecting it to be the same. I mean, I've never heard him say that, but like, you know, expecting him to have more of the same, and I think it just hasn't gone that way. And I think this season has probably been a little bit of like an eye opener for him too, you know, and maybe he's feeling pressure with the having to have a contract negotiation yeah. for the first time, you know, but I think
expectations this, higher.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, to your point, like teams are probably checking him a little bit more now. But I think he has been better since Tatar showed up too, just still not.
Yeah. Then he got hurt.
Offensive production. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. there's been a lot of factors there. I think, I started to say this has been a little bit of an eye opener for him. I think I would expect he's going to have a big off season of training yeah. and hopefully come back. Yeah. So
he plays a really like puck control dominant style, and he doesn't have, you know, the McDavid speed or the MacKinnon physicality to really pull that off. So, you know, I think there are going to need to be either slight adjustments in the way he plays or, you know, or a physical step forward. Like hopefully he does fill out a bit. You know, and I think with one of those things, like if he can adjust to playing off the puck a little more, you know, get a little bit of what Shane Wright does, you know, find openings to use his shot a little more, you know, he'll be able to take that step forward. I do think it's a little bit of the league figuring out what he does. And now it's up to him to yeah. kind of adjust back.
He just doesn't look confident right now. True to the Blue 2 asks, what is one change you would make to Climate Pledge Arena? Whether it be location, food, sightlines.
I would like for the press bridge to not wobble so much. That's always startling. It does a little like flex every now and then and starts bouncing, and I assume I'm about to fall to my death. That's about all. Oh, and if they could maybe move the that burger stand that's downstairs and makes me smell like fried food.
Oh, awesome.
Every night.
Because you're right above it.
Yeah. I'm right above it, and I stink when I come home.
I would do,
and I wear suits, and I have to like air out the suits for many days before I can put them away.
Yeah, I would somehow enable people to see warmups around, not behind the nets.
That's a good.
I hate the yeah. lack of interaction with fans because they can't go into the club section.
They're penned off from the club, and right. behind the net, there's netting, so they can't like throw right. things over.
Right.
Whatever.
And that's also for eating the fish.
Uh huh.
You know, I know one kid that's got like four fish and because they're in the prime spot.
Yeah.
And they're a kid.
Yeah.
So
what about if they just yeeted it really high and got it over the net?
That's not going to happen.
No, you're right.
You know that.
Remember when they tried to slingshot it?
Oh, yeah.
And it went horribly wrong?
Like one or two games. Oh, right.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
That was funny. It was a good try.
I think what they should do is just somehow make it so pregame, like people can go down there in the club section. I mean, I know that's easier said than done. And then postgame, don't care, right? People can run down to the club section.
Right.
I just think you're missing interactions with kids, future fans. Okay. True the Blue 2 also asked about the CHL NCAA rumors. We covered that. But they do ask, could this be a catalyst needed for West Coast D1 hockey? And I think it could be because it's that big of a shift. And all of a sudden you have more high caliber players that would be eligible to play. That said, I don't know. A lot of things are going to shake out because of this. So,
I mean, yeah, but to your point, I mean, you could get a lot of 21, 22-year-old WHLers who are not quite, you know, NHL level could fill college ranks out here for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the whole West Coast, but locally at the University of Washington, I have it on good authority that there's not much of a plan for hockey anytime soon, for Division I hockey. I'll say that. More to come on that in the next few days.
Yeah. Put a pin in that.
Yeah. Put a pin in it. Maybe keep an eye out on soundofhockey.com. But
Baz Av Joes asks, if we re-sign Eberle, he's not for the long term. Which winger would you like to see Beniers get time with to try to develop a partnership that could last a good while, say 5 years? Feels like that ought to be a goal for next season and a half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one player that I've always thought about is Bjorkstrand, like whether the two of them could form a team if that third line with Gord isn't, you know, going to be around forever. Is that something you could take a look at?
Yeah.
Another match that I thought would work, but then I dug into the stats on it and it hasn't looked good so far, has been Schwartz with Beniers. Because I think of Schwartz as a net front guy and Beniers as being not really strong enough to be net front. And I thought that might work, but the stats on it are quite poor, actually. They haven't played well together.
So. Yeah. I think the only one I can think of is McCann, but he's played with him a decent
amount. Yeah, he's played a lot.
Gone well, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I, like, throw in a quick weekly one-timer?
Sure. Why not?
Oilers' win streak ends at 16
games.
Oh,
yeah. You hate to see it, don't you?
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
That means right. Vegas won, so.
Yes. Are we done with our questions?
We are done with
our
questions.
Okay, well then we should be done with our show too because we've gone much longer than we usually do on our shows. So yeah, I'll kick it over to you, John, to close it out.
Do I have a script or do I have to?
You got to wing it. I didn't write one for you. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
And
Curtis is like already
Curtis
laughing.
Curtis is like pre-laughing.
And that concludes episode 273 of the Sound of Hockey podcast. We didn't have any reviews this week.
That's true.
But if you do review us, we will read you on the show as long as it's 5 stars. Thanks to all our participants in the mailbag. We appreciate your questions. We appreciate you following us and listening to us. And thanks to all our Patreons. We got a few more patrons this week. So I appreciate all of you. And we'll see you on the next episode, number 274. Sometime
I need you to
week.
Hold on. Heaven is a place not too far away. It's a Bieber song.
I didn't know that.
take my hand and hold on. Tell me everything that you need to say. That's about all I know. So we'll leave it there. Thanks, everybody.